Hi, it's Beth here. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's episode 203, March 17th, 2021. I'm still over 65 and I'm still talking. And I was thinking about all of my St. Patrick's Day days where they were haunted by this story of my great uncle Billy, the baby of the family. And we would get together if it was with the O'Rourke clan. And all the kids would be outside, like hitting each other with shillelaghs and crazy things that we would do for hours on end. But you come back in and the adults were having cocktails and talking around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock when we'd be getting ready to go home. It always came to talking about Uncle Bill. And they called him a ne'er-do-well. And a great scandal happened where his body was never recovered. He'd been in the Bowery. And it was just such a scandal. And I just remember always being sad about it. I was like, oh, it was all his mother's fault. And she spoiled him because Billy's dad died when Billy was still in the oven baking. You know, the little bun. And she made allowances for him his whole life. Oh, it's because he didn't see his father. Oh, it's because his father never held him. And stop blaming Billy. So that's all I heard. And then one time, my great aunt Kitty, his sister, came to stay with us when my parents were gone. And we were in the kitchen and alone, and I should have been in bed, but I never was. She said, I want to tell you the story of my brother Bill, but you can't tell your mother I told you. I'm like, oh, this is why I don't sleep. I loved it when it happened like this. You'd have to sit still, never interrupt. Knew the game, played it well. So she started and she said, he was her favorite and everybody knew it. And nobody was upset. And he was terrible at school. And he was a terrible athlete. And it was all because his father never held him. And he couldn't get his homework done. And his mom would make excuses. And the priest would come over. And the nuns would come over. And what will we do with Bill? Because the other children were good. And she just said, leave him alone. He's a heartbroken baby. And he'll go as far as he can. But it'll never be the way you want it to be. And she fought with a priest for her son, Bill. I mean, Kitty and the other kids just looked on in awe. So that was Billy's life. And he dropped out of school in the fourth grade. And she said nothing. It was a scandal. So there'd been this man that had been waiting in the wings. And his name was Mr. O'Hara. And my great-grandmother had become a widow at 27. So actually, she was like 33, 34. And he came calling. And he'd been watching her all these years. And she just said, I can't do it to my husband. He wouldn't appreciate it. And it's not his fault he's dead. Little Billy's sitting around, and so the conversation, when he came a calling, turned to Billy. And he said, well, can I help you with your son? And she said, how? And he said, well, you know, I make clocks and I repair clocks. And I can see from the way he's fidgeting over there that I can work with him. She said, please. So the two of them became platonic parents of this boy. Mr. O'Hara loved him. And he was satisfied to just get this little bit that he could from this family. So he taught him everything he knows about clocks, and he also taught him every song he knew. He was right off the boat from Ireland. He knew every single song, every ballad, every martyr, just every single song you could imagine. and he taught them to Billy. Just sang them, and Billy heard them. He only had to hear the song once. And he had perfect pitch, like a bird. So this is what he did, and Billy's mother was grateful. Everything was going beautifully. At 15, Billy met a girl, the most beautiful girl, and he had a job. He had a future. So there were, the mother was, all of her prayers were answered when it came to her son, Billy. Her problem child was no longer a problem. At 16, Billy picked up his first mug of beer. He'd not wanted it up until then. Well, that first one turned into an endless problem. And for 4 months, he just went off the wagon. And he lost his girl. He lost his job, although Mr. O'Howard would have taken him back in a second. Finally, after 4 months, he comes back to his mother. And he says, I'm going to try. She says, fine. And he did try. He got his job back. He started going back to church. He helped the priest with the T-ball baseball team. He tried so hard, but 6 weeks in, he fell, is what they said. And he went on a bender that lasted 48 hours. His mother was frantic. She thought he was dead. He comes back after 48 hours with a gift, English toffee, his mother's secret guilty pleasure, because it was English. And he told her a wild story about how he was kidnapped by pirates and how he couldn't get back for 48 hours and he kept trying and trying. Everybody knew he'd been drinking, but this became their ritual. And then he'd take out the deck of cards and they'd play gin rummy. And this went on for years. But during those benders, he became famous in pubs. He had 3 pubs. He started the high class one, work his way down. He could sing every song anybody ever cared about. He could make a German cry. The Germans would be in the bar eating, because they adored the beef and cabbage dishes because they couldn't get enough cabbage. They were always welcome in the restaurants because it made money for the bar. They'd eat and they'd leave in 40 minutes. But while they were there, if they heard Billy the Bard sing, they would cry. His Molly Malone, babies were born because of the way he sang Molly Malone. It just never ended. But his big night of all nights every year was St. Patrick's Day. He would wake up early, be in the parade, and he was famous. I mean, really, it was only 2 days every 6 weeks. But people waited for him. They craved the time that he'd be on a bender. And they would take care of him. He'd go back home to his mother, clean and perfect. So this was his life. And it went well for many, many years. But he went on this one last bender. And his mom would know they were coming because he would start getting itchy. And 6 weeks to 8 weeks, and sometimes he'd almost make it to 8 weeks in one day, but he never could. But he was always, always, always gone on St. Patrick's Day. And on St. Patrick's Day, he'd always come back with the best jokes. And Aunt Kitty would tell me the jokes, and many of them were those, you know, like a rabbi, a priest, and a whatever go into a bar. I hate those jokes. And he was always the Irishman in those jokes. But one joke she told me, and Kitty told me that he told his mother, I remember because I thought it was funny. And this one, he comes home, hands her the English toffee, and he tells her that he'd been on a train. And he was trying to get to a great monastery where he could pray to the priests. And on the way, he's sitting in his seat, The conductor comes out and he goes, "Does anybody want to help me? The train's in jeopardy. Does anybody know how to be an engineer of a train?" Billy raises his hand. "Yes," goes in to the front. "Oh, it's on fire. Oh, there's another train coming straight towards us on the tracks. What do we do, Billy? What do we do?" "Well, first we stop the engine. Then we stop the fire. Then we do everything we can. We get three guys to get in front of it. Some bulls out there stopping the train. Everything he tries doesn't work. Train is going to crash into another train. And he's come this time wearing a handkerchief on his forehead. And so he goes to his mother. "I just wish you'd been there." She said, "Why, Billy?" She said, "Because, Mom, you love trains." Crash. I thought that was pretty funny. So, and then they play Gin Rummy. All was forgiven. All was always forgiven. So, he was 31, and it was St. Patrick's Day again. And he was going to be a grandmaster in the parade for his church because he had given money to the church. He gave money to everybody if he had it, especially to his mother. But he bought the uniforms that year and new bats and balls for the boys. So he was going to be at the front of the parade. And his mother was there. And everybody was saying, "Oh, your Billy can sing. Oh, that bard, he sings Molly Malone. I can hear it in my head. Oh, I can't wait to be with him tonight." The mother would, she was proud. Even though she was upset that he had some proclivities, is what she called them. He was a wonderful boy. So that St. Patrick's Day got off on a higher note than ever. And he went out and he sang the fields of Athenry. I can't say the name of the town, but it's a song about the great hunger from 1847. And they were saying this should be on the radio. Everybody was crying. They were cheering. He was on top of the bar, standing there, having the time of his life. It was talked about. Night went on. He never left the expensive bar. They wouldn't let him. Everything was wonderful. Bar's closing down. It's Molly Malone. Everything's perfect. Everybody's talking about him. Mom goes shopping the next day. She hears all the stories. She doesn't expect him for 48 hours, not with this one. But she starts to get worried at the 36-hour mark. And she didn't ever do that. So then she started getting superstitious. And she started praying. And she was frantic. She got this idea that something was very, very wrong. And then come the 48th hour, and people said you could hear the wail for 2 blocks. It chilled everyone to the bone, and people came running. She said Billy was dead. She said, oh no, Mrs. O'Rourke, we'll find him, we'll find him. They got the oldest son, who was a policeman. He scoured the entire town. The big worry was that if they didn't find the body, it was going to be said that he died a drunk in the Bowery. Just another story like that. Another miscreant, another layabout, another ne'er-do-well drunk bum dying in the Bowery. And his mother couldn't bear it. Mr. O'Hara went out. Everyone went out searching for him. For days, men didn't go to work, and men always went to work. Well, the body was never found. And so that's the story that was being told those nights that I was hearing about this ne'er-do-well. And Mary Ann Kitty said it wasn't true, but there was no way to fight the Bowery, no way to fight that scandal. And the mother knew it. And she said that her mother started crying when the body couldn't be found. She gave it 24 more hours. When the brother came back, and everyone came back and they couldn't find him, then she gave it 24 more hours. The brother begged her, "Mom, please give me more time." that was the end. That was the end of the grace period. And the mother started crying and wailing. And there was no stopping her. There was nothing anybody could do. The doctor came. She was dying in a coma from dehydration. She cried herself to death. And everybody said it was Billy's fault because he was a ne'er-do-well. So my auntie said, listen, he was a wonderful man. He loved his mother. He took care of his mother. And he deteriorated into a scandal. And that's how the Irish are. Once you are in a scandal, you cannot get out. So all of his great acts and all of his singing, nobody even remembered that he sang. He just became the drunk. And the mother knew it would happen, and that was the end. But this is what my Aunt Kitty said. And she said it happened to her. If you went to that high-class bar on St. Patrick's Day, and you had, over the course of time, at least 8 drinks, she said you needed to be 3 sheets to the wind. But upon closing time, if you listen very carefully, you could hear my brother Bill singing Molly Malone. And she said, sane people heard it too. And I said, well, let's go next St. Patrick's Day. And she laughed and she said, the bar is gone. The bar is gone. And all memory of the story of how he sang is gone. And that's why I'm telling you. But every St. Patrick's Day, I would just think about him. And I would think about how sad it is that one, well, false step, bad move can change an entire perception of an entire life. And nobody even knew he was in the Bowery. I mean, he could have been robbed and thrown in the river. But it ended up being this horrible story and all the beauty of all the goodness that he had and accomplished was gone. And the story was that he was a drunk, died in the Bowery, and it killed his mom. And she was crying when she was telling me this. But she said, I just had to tell somebody. And so I have to tell you. I've never told anybody this story because I didn't think anybody would care. But it's a beautiful story. And this is how things happen. So then I looked up everything about St. Pat, and I think you know everything you need to know. Although he is English, and he was actually kidnapped by pirates and taken as a slave to a Celtic priest. And then he escaped, and then he got kidnapped again, which I think is crazy because I would be ready for the next time. They must have been really great kidnappers. And then he escapes again. He goes back to the northern part of England, which is where he was from. He's there, and God comes down to him, and he says, you got to go voluntarily back to Ireland. It's like, no, they hate me. He said, you've got to. You've got to do it. You've got to bring my son there. You've got to bring Jesus there. So he went, and the clover had been a big Celtic spiritual thing, so that's why he started using the clover. And I think this whole thing with snakes, because there aren't any snakes in Ireland, was just something his publicist came up with to get some momentum for people listening to him. But he was fantastic. And that's really all. Oh, there is another thing. And I think that St. Patrick would have done this. There were all kinds of holidays, and the Irish were really treated like dirt. And my Aunt Kitty also told me why. You know, Irish need not apply and all that. She said they had lice, and nobody wanted lice in their homes. They called them vermin for a reason. They called them lousy for a reason. She said, if you look back in history and you see a part of society that's being outcast and denigrated, they probably have lice. I thought that was fascinating. So anyway, of course they got the lice thing under control and things got better for them. But people hated them for a reason, a good reason. You got lice in your house, it was practically impossible to get it out. So I'm not saying it was good, but I sort of, in a weird way, understand that, because we had lice in second grade in Matt's class, and it was a disaster. Cleaning sheets, it was so much work. And putting poison in their hair, that Ridex crap. It's like insecticide. So I kind of understand that one. Now, this one's interesting, and maybe you don't know this. Corned beef and cabbage is an American invention. The Irish were so poor, so bereft, that they had to buy leftover corned beef from ships returning from the tea trade in China. These hard blocks of beef. And they were in brine, just saturated in brine. So that's why they had to cook it three times. And that's why they added cabbage to pick up some more of the salt. So corned beef and cabbage is American. And the cabbage was cheap too. But they didn't, like, really. What I want to know is, what were the rich people in Ireland ever eating? It's a whole different food. You know, and I don't want to pay a whole lot of money for corned beef and cabbage, because it kind of tastes like something weird's going on here. This wouldn't be my first choice or anyone's first choice. But anyway, that's how corned beef and cabbage got started. So, and I don't want to pay a lot for it, and neither should you. Just remember that story. And that is the same kind of meat. So, that's all I've got. And we're not even celebrating St. Patrick's Day today. But I just wanted to tell a little story about Billy the Bard. And the story's been lost in history. I wonder how many millions of stories like this. And it became a scandal. And he became a blackguard, and he wasn't. And he became, like, honestly, at those parties, when that name came up, he was like the scourge of the family. And just, it was like, the way they said it, it was like, I thought he was a murderer. I thought he murdered hundreds and hundreds of people. So anyway, I just needed to clear up Billy the Bard. And I feel like I have. And I thank you for your time. I thank you for listening. And I bet you liked him too. And I wish I could sing Molly Malone, but I am tone deaf. I don't know how that happened. So, you know, cockles and, you know, away, I can't do it. So anyway, enjoy St. Pat's, even though it's very dry and just nothing this year. Next year will be great. And you can get, you know, I don't even know if you can have a button that says, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." I don't even know, like, if that's, like, bad to do. Or to say, wow, so that button might be a goner. I don't know what people can do anymore. I'm not even talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about social mores and how we behave now. So maybe just, you can't, I'll wear the button anyway. I'll see what happens. Maybe I'll get clubbed like a baby seal next year. I'll let you know. I'll do it for Great Uncle Billy. Have a wonderful day. Have a little something Irish. Play one Irish song. Danny Boy. Billy would play Danny Boy. He would sing Danny Boy with no accompaniment. And people would, they'd cry. Heaves. Terrible. He made the song his own. And I would have loved to have been in the bar to hear it. Just Google Danny Boy. Find some Irish tenor and listen to it. It's so beautiful. And Molly Malone, if you want. It's, but don't get a fat, you know, some of this new fast-paced music. It's not like that. These were two slow, sad, heartbreaking songs. And I don't know why I love them, but I do. So maybe you should just pick one, because it is a little sad. But Molly Malone dies. I need to tell you that. Okay. She dies of a fever in the song. But it's still beautiful that she's remembered. And so is it beautiful that Danny's remembered and Billy is remembered. So happy St. Patrick's Day. And I will be back. Bye-bye.